Do you want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.
Well, good evening, and good evening to you, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are powered by SID Media. It is the 22nd of October at 2024, and thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate you. Today is Technology and Innovations Tuesday, and we're trying to keep up with the trends in the technological space and how they affect different industries and different people as well. So we stay ahead and try to understand what's happening there. And today we're talking about solar drying technology, particularly in the food and agricultural product sector. What does that mean? Well, you come to the right show, right? For several generations, people have been preserving food by drying it by way of placing the food on mats in the sun. Those are some of the ways, right? This simple method, however, has been improved upon. And today, we'll be talking about innovations in solar drying technology and the developments, what the developments mean for the food industry, particularly agriculture. Of course, a growing demand for food. Food as well is what we'll try and bring in into the conversation. And joining us, it is Mr. Owen Kosinyawo, who's going to help us understand these things a little bit better. Good evening, sir, and welcome to the show.
Good evening, Thapelo. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. And yourself?
No, I'm doing well, sir.
Ah, fantastic. And how's the year been so far?
No, the year has been good. It's just been very challenging.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm
when
sure.
you are conducting research, there's so much you have to put into consideration. You know, God has been good, so we are here.
Indeed, we are here, right? I'm sure, just like me, I can't wait for the end of the year to just take a bit of a breather. Maybe that's where you are as well, eh?
Yes, no, definitely. I need a break. I really need a break.
Yeah. No, it's coming. I think it's about not two now, because it's the end of October. So it's about one and a half month or thereabouts. Then you and I are going to take a very long holiday. So I can't wait as well, because wow.
Yes, no.
It's been a long week.
I'm with you there.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Before we get into our very, very technical conversation, I love it for myself, and I'm looking forward to really learning quite a bit. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do, maybe for our listeners who may not know you?
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you for
this
opportunity. And I'm also greeting all the listeners.
Indeed.
And I think I know my mom is listening as well.
Yeah. So, hello, mom.
Hello, mom.
Yes.
Yeah, so my name is Owen Kosinyawo, and I'm pursuing my Master's of Science in Food Technology at the University of Johannesburg under the Department of Biotechnology and Food Technology. So my supervisor is the outgoing Dr. Daniso Beswa. He's also a senior lecturer at the university. And my co-supervisors are Dr. Tumisi Moleleko and Dr. Laura Da Silva, who is actually a senior lecturer at the Tshwane University of Technology. So, so basically it's universities that are collaborating together and trying to do good in society through this project.
Fantastic. Okay, what brought you into this type of work?
Well, I've always had a passion and an interest in how the chemistry of food actually works. Because there are so many dimensions and so many multiple disciplines within the industry. So, for instance, you know, some of our students are working on projects that are focusing on food chemistry. Others are working on microbiology. Others are working on food safety and assurance. Others are looking at critical control points. So, you know, I was mostly interested in the analytical chemistry and the food engineering aspect in alignment to the sustainable development goals. So I just found myself gravitating into this particular field of science, especially within the food industry. because there are so many potential possibilities and so many outcomes that can come out of it. As a scientist, we are mandated to try solve issues in society. And one of those issues are going to be a major breakthrough when you see the effort and the work that went into research and getting those outcomes. So I'm just quite interested in the field itself.
Ah, fantastic. Okay. So you love research, it sounds.
I love research. You know, I did do my BSc degree in food science at the University of Pretoria. And food science, it mostly focuses on the research aspect of the of my industry. And then obviously then I done my BTech honors in food technology from the Tshwane University of Technology. So I now gravitated mostly towards the practicality of the industry. So it's always good to have different dimensions to have an understanding of both the research and also the practicality of it. At the end of the day, whatever we do to society, it has to be practical. So you need to have the knowledge to be able to implement all these things.
Oh, okay. That's really lovely. Okay. Let's get then into our topic without wasting any further time because we've got really limited time. Let's talk about then food drying. What makes this necessary? And what is the need for dehydration or even, I suppose, what some might call mass preservation of food?
Okay. So what makes food drying necessary, right? So when you think of food drying, think of preservation of food.
Okay.
Or extending the shelf life of food.
Ah.
So now, by eliminating water in food, you are actually reducing the microbial growth significantly. Because it is the microbes, such as your bacteria or your yeast and mold, that thrive when the moisture content is high in food. So now, by reducing the moisture content, you actually prevent spoilage. And on top of that, you retain the nutritional content. Because now, the microbials, when they actually consume or when they actually spoil your food, they are basically removing the nutrients in the food and spoiling it simultaneously. Now, with food drying, you are basically enhancing the food security. You are preserving that food, you know. And you can also create a market out of dried products. Because now what happens is that, for example, you know, there are seasons when you can actually sell tomatoes because there's things like frostbite and a particular moments in South Africa where you cannot actually plant. So now you then take this fresh produce and then you dry it and you can be able to even sell it outside of season. And that is just another way for especially the community to be able to benefit from such a technique.
Okay, all right. So I heard you saying microbiomes. Is that the correct term?
No, it's microbials.
Microbials. Okay, microbials. So what I want to ask is, these microbials, are they the ones that are in the moisture or it's two separate things? Because it sounds like to me they're the ones that spoil the food.
Okay, so now the thing with microorganisms is they are actually part of the environment. And from the environment or the air that we breathe, there's microbials. You see? So now these microbials, once they find a susceptible place to grow, they will grow. And the problem with food is that when there is high moisture content and when there is also the right environment, such as a dark place or a dark area that has got high moisture content, the microbials are going to thrive in that environment. And these microbials, that is what you can even get from the air that you breathe, you know. It can be bacteria, it can be yeast and mold, you know. So all these are just part of, you know, organisms in our day-to-day living. It's just that sometimes these organisms, once they find the best condition to grow, they grow and then they spoil the food.
So by creating an environment where they can't grow, they die naturally.
Exactly. And drying is such a technology that makes sure that they actually don't grow to that point.
Ah, okay. I want to get into that a little bit more, but I just want to frame this thing in my mind and understand it quite a little bit more. And I'm not really technical in this space. So what I also heard and what I really love is that there seems to be other value chains that are then created from just drying food. So it seems like it's a small thing, but really you are enhancing food security, for example. You're creating other markets where they can sell dried fruits, for example, and. So it seems like it's really an ecosystem of sort that just comes from a simple thing as just drying food.
You know, to be honest with you, you know, food drying is actually a gift from God.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, because there are so many communities right now, especially in places like Limpopo, where they are selling fresh produce, and this fresh produce ends up in landfills or in landfills whereby maybe people have not bought, or maybe there is a certain type of spoilage, and all of this then contributes to the ozone depletion, because now if fresh produce like tomatoes are left to decompose, they emit something called methane gas. Mm. And methane gas is actually 20 times, if not 30 times worse than carbon dioxide.
Yes.
And that is the one thing that is actually destroying the ozone layer, making the solar radiation or the ultraviolet radiation to pass through the ozone layer and then cause people to have skin cancer and so forth.
Yeah,
you see. Yeah. So it's just a chain. It's a chain. It's such a chain that can actually be inhibited by trying to dry the food that was supposed to be meant for food waste, but ends up actually not being food waste.
And then at what stage do you think is critical for us to start this drying process? Because I'm thinking to myself, there's tomatoes, there's that, there's avocados and all these sort of things, and fruits, for example, that are produced for fresh consumption, right? So they are consumed in their fresh state and all that. But then there's overproduction where there's wastages, or at least the risk of wastages. At what stage do you think that manufacturers really need to say, this thing is going to get spoiled in the next 3 months or so if it's not sold?
Exactly.
But one and a half month into it, let's rather dry it so that we don't get this thing wasted, rather, but we can preserve it. But is there like a sweet spot where manufacturers need to start thinking, when do we start drying these foods?
Well, from the research that we've actually conducted, from the research we've conducted, actually, a really sweet spot will be when the fruit is actually overripe. Overripe. Because what normally happens is there's a particular criteria that you use in order to know what food you can be able to sell.
Mm.
So the food that is actually being sold in the market, there is a particular criteria that is followed.
Mm.
If the food is actually overripe, it does not go to the market. Why? Because it's going to stay for a very short period of time. It's going to spoil.
Yeah.
So now what then happens is, instead of throwing away such overripe fruits, you can actually then take them into a large-scale greenhouse solar dryer.
Yeah.
And then you can be able to remove the moisture.
Yeah.
And you can be able to package it properly.
Yeah.
And it's even one of the reasons why communities communities that are far away from the grid can be able to benefit from and actually generate some form of revenue or income.
Love it. Okay.
So the sweet spot is really when the fruit is actually overripe. There's obviously other factors involved.
Yeah.
But standard is, if the fruit is just overripe, know for a fact that you cannot take it into market.
Yeah.
Just take it into a solar dryer.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
Let's talk about then the different methods that are used for drying food. And if you can also, in the same vein, talk about the pros and cons for each method.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now obviously we have your solar drying.
Mm.
And solar drying is basically utilizing the energy of the sun.
Of the sun,
To dry food. And the major advantage is that, like, maybe like when you are drying the product, it is basically, number one, protected from contamination, which actually helps to reduce spoilage, because a solar dryer has got a transparent or see-through dome.
Yeah.
Actually allows you to insert your product and make sure the ecosystem inside is well ventilated, right? The energy that you are using is obviously from the sun.
Yeah.
So that's the advantage. But the disadvantage is that, you know, it does going to take just a slightly longer time as compared to your commercial or your commercial drying methods in industry. But as opposed to your sun drying, the solar drying is actually much more efficient because there's sun drying and then there's solar drying. So now the solar drying or the greenhouse solar drying is by far more superior than the sun drying because now it actually tries to prevent contamination from making its way onto the product. For example, like dust, like insects, like animals, they don't have access to your dried product.
Yes.
Because it's inside a dome, it's well protected and ventilated. Yeah. Right? And then you get something called your hot air drying, which is now what I was discussing, the conventional way of drying.
Yeah.
And in my case, in my dissertation, I was actually focusing on something called a food dehydrator.
Okay.
It's called an Excalibur. So that's it's like a small scale way that represents how industry dries their fresh produce. The advantage is that it's obviously more efficient, right? Number two, it's not even dependent on weather climate.
Okay, okay.
And the environment is controlled.
Yeah.
Because it's using a centrifugal fan or it's using a dryer inside to make sure that the produce is dried.
Yeah.
But the disadvantage, though, is that it's very expensive to maintain.
Ooh, okay.
And there is a lot of energy as well that is consumed by the grid when you're actually using such a device.
Yes.
So it's expensive to maintain. It's expensive on energy. A small-scale farmer somewhere in Kwakwani won't be able to afford such a device. Yes, so that is why the solar drying methods are so important. They actually help the small-scale farmers in a big way.
Yeah.
You see? And then there's also something called spray drying.
Okay.
Now, spray drying is basically, it's the liquid in food, for example, such as milk, right? Liquid food such as milk, it's placed inside the chamber, it's exposed to hot air, and then the liquid will just easily evaporate because of the hot air that is inside the chamber, right? It's also its advantage because fine, it's rapid, it's fast, but the disadvantage is that it's also very expensive to maintain. So a lot of these commercial methods, they are very expensive. And the project that we are trying to do or that we are trying to come up with, it is a socially responsible project that is going to assist the farmers who don't have the money to purchase such expensive equipment. The farmers who are in the rural areas, who are off-grid, who don't have access to electricity. All this project is so important, you see. And then there's also something called freeze drying as well.
Okay.
Freeze drying, it's when the food is actually placed like in a chamber and it's frozen at minus degrees below zero. And then a vacuum will then be turned on through sublimation. Now, sublimation is basically a process whereby the water in solid form will pass through the food. And in that manner, that's actually going to help the food to keep the flavor, the nutrition of the product in place. But another unfortunate thing about this method is that it takes a really long time.
Yeah.
It takes more than 30 hours for you to get what you are looking for. And it's also very expensive to purchase. And it also consumes a lot of energy.
A lot of energy. You know? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And then obviously.
Yeah.
Anyways, there's just so many of them, but I can go on and on. But I think you get what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say here is that, commercial methods are very expensive. They consume a lot of energy and they're high in maintenance.
Yes.
And then the solar drying that we have developed, it barely needs maintenance. It utilizes most of the sun's energy.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much going to do the same amount of job. At almost the same amount of time. Yes.
Yeah. And is it a new phenomenon in this space, solar drying? Because if I hear you very well, the commercial ways, like you said, very expensive and all that. And for every farmer who runs a business in the farming space wants to make a profit. And so if there's a cost-effective way of drying food, which can have more impact, you know, reduce the numbers, still makes sense in a way that I suppose commercially it doesn't. Why is there no adoption?
Okay. So first of all, one thing I can mention to you is that, you know, we are in Africa, right?
Mm.
And in Africa, we actually are still, majority of the farmers are actually still using traditional drying methods.
Yes.
And the traditional drying methods is now using the sun to basically dry your products. Why do they use this? Because it's very cheap.
Okay.
All they have to do is just, they have to take whatever fresh produce they have to cut it into appropriate slices, place it, and then let the sun do the job.
Yeah.
You know, that is something that is normally happening in Africa. Disadvantage, obviously, as I mentioned, there's a lot of contamination that can occur, and it takes a much longer time to dry, and is obviously heavily dependent on the climate. But unfortunately, you know, that is when, like, scientists need to come into the space and create methods that are going to help benefit the farmers, but at the same time not compromise the quality of the product, right?
Okay.
So now, unfortunately, that's the situation that we're in. You know, the technology has been there for centuries. Even greenhouse solar drying, it's actually a technology that was adopted in the late 20th century.
Yeah.
You know? So these methods are there. Other countries have actually gone through the process, and they've actually went into 21st century sustainable energy development.
Yes.
You know? But unfortunately, we are still a bit behind.
Yeah, behind.
But then, you know, that's where science comes in to try to close the gap. And to create these inventions that are going to, you know, help the farmers to come out of this traditional way of drying their fresh produce and be more in line with what is currently going on.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Are there any adverse effects then to solar drying?
So as far as adverse effects are concerned, you know, so, or let me actually put it in this way.
Yeah.
There is sun drying, and then there is solar drying.
Okay.
So solar drying, greenhouse solar drying, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now with sun drying, we actually discovered that when this is now part of the dissertation I did.
Yes.
So now we actually discovered that whenever you expose fresh produce directly to the sun, it actually reduces the levels of antioxidants over a long period of time.
Okay.
Now, antioxidants are molecules that are found, for example, in certain food, like for instance, tomatoes. In tomatoes, the major antioxidant is called lycopene.
Yeah.
And that antioxidant actually fights harmful free radicals.
Mm.
And harmful free radicals cause something called oxidative stress.
Mm.
And that stress will then damage the cell membranes and the protein, and even alter your DNA, you know, leading to things like your tumors or your abnormal growth cells or cancer.
Mm.
So the antioxidants are massively reduced. That's why we discovered that the antioxidants, those very important ones, they are significantly reduced when you are just drying your food or when you are just drying your fresh produce
using the sun.
Or drying method.
Yeah.
But when you are using your solar drying method or your greenhouse drying method, actually, the antioxidants are actually maintained.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
They're actually maintained. Yes, there's going to be a degradation over time.
Yeah,
but they are actually sufficient even after 6 months, because now we did a shelf life extension test using a humidifier, whereby a month is basically equivalent to a week. And we were able to discover that, you know, the antioxidative levels in greenhouse solar dried tomatoes was actually even much higher as opposed to antioxidants that are found in your normal fresh produce. You see.
Okay.
So there are those benefits, and there also are those negative aspects of it.
Yes. I was actually asking about the cost itself, because solar is in itself a very high and expensive cost. Yes, in the long run, maybe it tapers off in terms of cost, but at the very beginning, the capital outlay is huge.
No, that is very true. And that is why in the project that we were doing, we did compare the greenhouse solar dryer with your normal food dehydrator, something that is found in industry to dry fresh produce. And we discovered that, you know, a typical food dehydrator is going to cost about 11 to 12,000 each. But then the solar dryer that we developed, the materials that we used actually costed less than 6,800. It costs much less, and it actually has got the capacity of drying 10 kilograms of fresh produce.
Okay.
Yet the food dehydrator has got capacity of drying only 2 kilograms.
Oh,
and it actually uses, and the food dehydrator uses more energy, about 600 watts per hour.
Yes.
Whereas the solar dryer, with its control panel to be able to monitor the relative humidity, with its fans to be able to control the flow of air and to be able to extract the relative humidity in the echo chamber using the centrifugal fan. With all that in place, it actually still uses 285 watts per hour. So the difference is huge. So basically, you are saving on costs, you are saving on electricity, and you're also getting a much higher capacity or a much higher yield than you would have. Than you would have if you just used your food dehydrator.
Talking about these yields, because you raise an important thing there. The conventional commercial ways, do they have higher yields than, say, solar drying?
Yes, well, they do, because now the commercial way of drying is something that actually has been perfected, and it has been improved over the years.
Okay.
You know, and it actually utilizes a number of methods actually to maintain that. Scientists and engineers, you know, started working together to create such commercial methods of drying. So obviously it's going to be much efficient, but you know, at the end of the day, it's still not worth the investment if you're a small-scale farmer. Because remember, our target market here is the small-scale farmers, the guys that don't have the money to buy the commercial methods, you know? The guys that actually don't have the capacity to facilitate such huge yield. Because remember, if you're going to have huge yields, then you're going to consume a lot of a lot of grid power. You see?
So with solar drying, do you need less land availability, as in hectares, as opposed to, I don't know, commercial and conventional ways?
Well, actually, we discovered actually that, you know, there's different types, right? So there's your portable greenhouse solar dryer, meaning that you can actually carry it with you and you can place it anywhere you want to.
Oh, lovely.
And then there's, yes, exactly. So you can, for instance, maybe today you are in Johannesburg, you are drying your fresh produce. And then maybe tomorrow you want to go to PE, maybe because on that particular month it's very sunny.
Yeah.
So just carry your solar dryer with you. Place it in your bike or something of that nature. So that's one aspect. Another aspect is that you know, some of the solar dryers are actually fixed on the surface, right? And that is just another form of drying as well, but still part of the same class or still part of the same group. You know, as far as the yield is concerned, obviously, you know, if you've got much larger space, you are going to accommodate more products. If you've got less space, then you are not.
Definitely.
You know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Lovely. We've run out of time, but I want to get into this one. What are the trends and developments that you are particularly researching and seeing in the solar drying space? And what's the industry like in terms of evolving and adapting to new ways?
Yes. Okay. So what I can say is that there are recent developments in the solar drying industry.
Mm.
For example, you know, there's something called a photovoltaic integrated solar dryer, whereby like solar panels are actually utilized to generate electricity from the sun, which is then used to heat the compartments inside your like the fruit or the vegetables or whatever that is fresh inside your compartment, utilizing the energy of the sun and not necessarily using too much of the grid's power. So that is very good for small scale farmers. The solar panels are a really great introduction to greenhouse solar powered energy.
Yeah.
So that's one example.
Yeah.
There's also something called advanced solar dryers, whereby like now there is like a tunnel that is inside a greenhouse dryer.
Yeah.
To help optimize the airflow.
Yeah.
Because now heat distribution and moisture removal is also dependent on not just the solar energy of the sun, but also the airflow. Because now if there's moisture that accumulates inside the tunnel or inside the echo chamber, it needs to be removed so that fresh and dry air can be inserted. And in that manner, then the drying is going to be more efficient.
Look at that.
So it's also solar dryers integrated with smart sensors. That is now helping us to monitor the temperature, the humidity, and the airflow for us to be able to do the calculations needed to understand exactly where is the optimum drying of this fresh produce. Like, for example, like in tomatoes, you know, we always try to get an optimum weight.
Yeah.
Or equilibrium weight, actually.
Yeah.
Equilibrium weight, meaning that there is a high possibility that the amount of moisture in the sample is at 15%, and obviously, according to literature, if it's 15% and less, then it's actually quite acceptable.
Yeah.
So these are the smart sensors that we use then in order to get the data and to also improve the efficiency of the process.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many in even thermal storage as well, utilizing the thermal energy storage materials into your solar dryer to absorb the heat during the periods of low sunlight, because you're not going to have sufficient sunlight all the time, but then you are going to need like thermal storage to help you know, enhance the drying of the product even when the sun is not sufficient. So for example, people are using black concrete to do so, others are inserting pebbles, others are using limestone. There are so many inventions. Some people as well, recently I discovered that in Malaysia, they are using improved aerodynamic systems in their solar dryers as well. So that is just a much more efficient way of forced convectional systems powered by the fans. So it's just a fancy way of saying that they're improving the airflow in the drying chamber, so resulting in a uniform drying. And it's very advantageous because now the moisture is easily removed, and that, as you know, prevents spoilage. Yes. So there's also something called hybrid solar dryers as well.
Yeah.
You know, these solar dryers, basically, you are combining the heat sources.
Yeah.
You are using the sun's energy. You are also using biomass and electric heaters or gas, you know, to be able to have a much more efficient process as well.
Yes.
So biomass could be something coming from plants or animals. With plants, it's cellulose, and cellulose is just plant walls. They all have energy. Animal products, such as your animal manure, there's energy there that can actually be converted, you know? So there's a lot of really amazing things that are actually happening. In this industry.
Fantastic. Sure, we've run out of time, but thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate you, Mr. Nyawa. I think
thank you.
We should have more conversations on this thing. It's really interesting insights. And Unomsebenzi Omnandi, you've got a nice job. You really have interesting topics that you're looking at. But thank you for your time, eh?
No, it's just, you know, it's just by grace, you know.
Yes, yes.
That we find it. You find ourselves in, yeah. in such situations.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, thank you so much, my brother. I really appreciate you.
Yes. No, okay. It's a pleasure. And I'm also grateful for you hosting me.
Thank you so much. And, yeah, really appreciate
a great conversation.
Indeed,
I hope you learned a lot.
I did learn a lot.
I
did learn a lot. And I'm sure our listeners will learn a lot as well. So I appreciate you.
No problem.
Thank
no
you
problem.
So much. That was Mr. Owen Nkosi Nyawo talking to us this evening about some really important things that are taking place in this sector. Hey, that was a beautiful, very insightful conversation. Hope that you are blessed.
Do you want to take part in a Bible study that can help you understand the Bible better? Tune in to Glorious Morning every Thursday and Friday at 7:20 a.m. and on Maranatha Drive every Monday and Tuesday at 4 p.m. for an interactive Bible study. Through these studies, you can find answers for facing the issues and challenges you deal with every day. You can also find these studies on www.voiceofprophecy.com.